In this edition of the podcast, Archie Moore's Kith and Kin at the Venice Biennale. Curated by Ellie Buttrose, the work reflects on the nature and strength of First Nations Australian kinship that span more than 65,000 years and incorporates the land, water and all living things. We'll hear from the artist and the curator, some comments from the launch, as well as insights from Creative Australia's Executive Director of First Nations Art and Culture, Francesca Cubillo, and Aboriginal Elder, Writer and Arts Elder Statesman John Mundine about the impact of First Nations art presented at the Venice Biennale. I'm Tim Stackpool, and this is Inside the Gallery. Welcome to the podcast, and thanks for joining us for this special Express Venice Biennale edition. As we acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land upon which this podcast is produced and downloaded, and we pay our respects to First Nations elders across the world, past, present and emerging. And of course, a transcript of this episode is available at our website, www.insidethegallery.com.au, thanks to the Australian Arts Channel, which is available to view for free at australianartschannel.com.au. Well, a sunny day for the launch of Archie Moore's work at this year's Venice Biennale, which depicts thought-provoking portrayals of self and national histories. His work is rooted in experiences around identity and heritage and speaks to wider themes of universality of the human family and the enduring impact of colonisation. Titled Kith and Kin, Archie, he's created an amazing work. It's expansive. It's a genealogical chart spanning more than 65,000 years, and drawing on his Kamilaroi, Bigambul, British and Scottish heritage, the installation does embody his enduring exploration of history and identity. They are central themes in his artistic practice, if you know them, spanning over 30 years, and his work brings international awareness to the vitality of First Nations kinship, in spite of facing systemic injustices since British settlement in Australia. Here's Archie himself talking about the inspiration for the title of his work.
Kith and Kin, the title of the exhibition, means in today's sense friends and family. But in an old English definition of the word, kith means countrymen or of one's own land. So I was drawn to the old English definition of the word because it seemed more of a indigenous understanding of what a family could be, which Indigenous people in a traditional sense would consider the land and the living things on that land as part of their kinship system. The land could be a mentor or a teacher or a parent to a child. It wasn't separate from the Aboriginal people themselves.
Archie Moore himself there. Now, if you're not heading to Venice, you can experience the work at www.kithandkin.me. That's www.kithandkin.me. And there's also a link to that, of course, at our website at www.insidethegallery.com.au. But what Archie has created, it's hand-drawn in white chalk. It's his genealogical chart across the pavilion's 5-metre-high black walls that run probably around 60 metres in length, and it illustrates his lineage stretching back more than 2,400 generations. He's researched this for many years, and the intricate map of relations reflects the unique family structures of First Nations Australians. That's including all living things, and affirms their status as some of the longest continuing living cultures in the world today. And extending across the pavilion's black ceiling, the inscribed names resemble a type of celestial map of the sky. It sort of represents his ancestors' resting place. Because remember that in First Nations Australian understanding of time, the past, the present and the future, they all exist together. So by placing tens of thousands of years of kin on a single continuum, Archie makes this notion visible to us as the audience visiting the pavilion. The launch of Archie Moore's work at this year's Venice Biennale was attended by a very supportive crowd, including Alison Burrows. Now, she's the chargé d'affaires from Australia's embassy in Rome. Here's some of what she had to say at the opening.
At the time of the Voice referendum last year, the Prime Minister asked us all to build a bridge on issues like reconciliation, like closing the gap. like creating opportunities for our First Nations people in a way that's worthy of the great privilege we have of living on our great continent with the oldest continuous culture on earth. So I think what better place to build a bridge than here in Venice? And what better place to build a bridge of art than here at the Biennale? Thank you all very much.
The work in the pavilion is pretty much a stark representation, I think, of the decline in First Nations Australian languages and dialects under past colonialisation. Now, over 254 years, the number of languages have plummeted from as many as 700, I think, to start with, to around 160 today. And that's due to past prohibitions on first language use and land dispossession and the killing of kin, of course, in colonial warfare. So, to counter this, Archie has undertaken language maintenance through the use of his Gamilaroi, that's the Gamilaroi Nation's language, and Bigambul kinship terms. Now, in this way, the work presents the shift from Indigenous to European languages, the translation of oral languages to written text, and of course the introduction of racial categories and slurs. Archie's also put obvious missing pieces too amongst the names, and we see that in the work. It represents the atrocities inflicted upon First Nations communities, like massacres, the introduction of diseases, the destruction of knowledge that have all produced intergenerational trauma. It's worth noting too, Archie's choice of educational materials. It's erasable chalk on blackboard paint in this work, and that represents insufficient dissemination of First Nations histories. Of course, there is a significant level of collaboration when it comes to a project like this, and Archie did thank a load of people at the opening, one of which, of course, is the curator of the work, Ellie Buttrose. And it would be difficult to overestimate the level of support that Ellie has brought leading to this year's Biennale. Here are her words about the opportunity to work on this.
This has been a really extraordinary and humbling experience to work directly with Archie on this project. I've always admired his conceptually rigorous work that is politically incisive but also emotionally engaging. And while his work is well known around Australia, this will be one of the biggest international opportunities he's had to date. Archie's work is often about his personal experience and also in this case his family research. And it's been a real privilege for me to hear the stories that he's shared over the process of making this work. With this sense of trust also comes a large sense of responsibility. So I'm ensuring that audiences have everything they need to understand the social and political background of the work so they can understand the depth of Archie's practice. It's a really exciting opportunity to be able to realise Archie's vision at such scale, but also with a keen eye for detail so that audiences are completely immersed within his world.
It's curator Ellie Buttrose there. Now, beyond the artwork on the walls of the pavilion, the interior also presents a reflective pool, and that creates an atmosphere of a memorial, a pays tribute to the injustices still faced by First Nations people today. And suspended above the pool are more than 500 stacks of documents in bundles containing many coronial inquests into the deaths of Indigenous Australians in police custody, dated, to be honest, from recent history. For those who don't know, despite First Nations Australians being just under 4% of Australia's population, they account for 33% of our prison population and making them amongst the most incarcerated people globally. Standing and admiring this work, it's easy to be reminded that the paperwork represents more than just nameless statistics, but it rather actually includes children and siblings and cousins and parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents and great-grandparents. I did catch up with Francesca Cubillo, who was the MC at the launch. Francesca is Creative Australia's Executive Director of First Nations Arts and Culture, and I asked her about the impact of this work and the message it evokes, not just in Venice, but in world terms.
I think this is a remarkable moment in our history to have First Nation storytelling, but also the complex history of Australia being shared through an artist's eye at a global platform, right? Aesthetically, you have an artist who has been informed by their childhood, by the history of his ancestry, his inheritance, his heritage, and he has been putting really courageous work out into the public arena, and it is really wonderful to see that recognition and the exposure of these narratives. When you think about Australia's history, we are only now understanding and unpacking the truth-telling. And to have an artist who is courageous, who is aesthetically astounding in terms of conceptually pulling together works, and being brave and having his artwork talk about this history is just, I think it is huge. It's significant on a global platform, and I think people will be surprised. They'll be challenged, and that is, you know, something that we all must do. I think be surprised and challenged, because these things have been a part of nationhood and creating this nation, and to see a First Nation artist being supported in their courageous practice to share this globally is so wonderful. So it makes a strong statement.
Creative Australia's Francesca Cubillo there. Of course, this is not the first time that First Nations art has been presented at the Venice Biennale, but each time it is significant, and I asked distinguished curator and writer John Mundine, OAM, about that significance.
I think the interesting thing, of course, is that the Venice Biennale was set up about the time of the modern Olympic Games, and in a way it's sort of like the Olympics of art and culture. So everyone comes there as a representative of their country, of their nation. So it's very important that, in fact, Aboriginal people happen to be into that and give the complete, a rounded view of the history of the nation, a more complete story. And the thing that's how it's changed since 1990, when the first Aboriginal artists were chosen to be in that in the pavilion representing Australia, that now people have burst beyond that, and people are chosen not necessarily as being the national representative. Daniel Boyd, Vernon Arkey, etc., they were chosen to be in the arsenal, in the general curated Venice Biennale, not just in as national representatives.
Bias aside, do you think that Australia should be represented solely, exclusively by First Nations artists at such an event?
I think it's good that they're appearing more into the image of Australia internationally. We are appearing more commonly now, more often, as a representative of the nation. So that happens anyway. There was a push, there has been a push off and on to have an Indigenous pavilion for Indigenous people worldwide. So the problem with that is you could be marginalised into, they're Aboriginal or they're Native American or whatever, so we'll put them into that pavilion and not the other. Whereas this places the questions we ask, the history that we represent, it forces the nation then to look at those histories.
John Mundine there with his thoughts about Australian First Nations artists and their history at the Venice Biennale. Now, there's no doubt that Archie Moore's work bridges the personal and the political, as we heard Ellie share earlier. And amongst the contemporary coroner's reports featured within the Biennale work, there are historic documents with specific references to Archie's family. These include things like a court conviction from when his great-uncle accidentally killed his father during a fight over their wages, and reports in there too by the protector of Aboriginals denying his grandparents access to rights that non-Indigenous citizens enjoyed, such as freedom of movement. And while many of the stories in Kith and Kin are specific to Archie's family, they do mirror narratives throughout the world. And through this, he highlights all of our shared ancestry and humanity through the interconnectedness of people and place and time. Anyway, the Venice Biennale runs through until November. It's peak crowd season right now, of course, so a trip later in the year may be a little more relaxed, although Venice is pretty busy all the time. But if you want an armchair view, A link specifically to Archie's Kith and Kin is available at our website, www.insidethegallery.com.au, as well as links to Creative Australia's dedicated Venice Biennale page. And a link to the transcript of this edition is there too. And in other great news, following the exhibition at the Australia Pavilion in Venice, the Queensland Art Gallery, Gallery of Modern Art, plans to present Kith and Kin as part of its 2025-26 program. So, it will be heading home. That is the podcast for now. Thanks for your interest in this quick express edition. Congratulations to all involved with this year's Venice Biennale. It's really great and it really is touching work. Thanks to Frank Houston in Sydney for production assistance with this episode. And until our next edition, I'm Tim Stackpool. Bye-bye for now.